I want to kick off our sermon series this morning, 100 years from now. 100 years from now. And when we first began to talk about 100 years from now, what are we going to preach on? What are we going to say? What's the world going to be like? What's going to be going on at that time? What will praise and worship be like? What kind of games will you be playing, and what will you be playing them on? I mean, 100 years from now. And I begin to ponder and pray on 100 years from now. What is this thing going to be like? And the most important thing in my mind and in my heart was the fact, what's the church going to be like? Where would the church be? What is going to keep the church for the next 100 years? What kind of praise and worship will we be doing? What kind of instruments will we have? You know, it's amazing to me what they're doing now. And Pastor Gatlin and I were talking the other day, and he was telling me, he said, you know, with the right equipment and just tracks, we can make it sound like a full choir, an orchestra, whatever we want it to sound like, and there won't be no one on the platform. 100 years from now, what is it going to be like? What are we going to be doing in the church? What kind of praise and worship will we have? And what kind of songs will we be singing? And what's the church really going to be like? What are we going to be? And this is going to really touch your heart, I hope, and that is, whatever the family is like, is what the church is going to be like. So when we begin to explore years down the road, we got to bring it inward. It's going to come from here. It's got to come from within us. And 100 years from now, where will we be? And I begin to think back over it. How many of you are under 50? Raise your hand. I got to pull mine down. All right. How many of you are under 40? Raise your hand. How many of you are under 30, raise your hand. How many of you are under 20, raise your hand. Well, y'all won't understand this sermon. How many of you are over 60, raise your hand. I can raise my hand now. Right. How many of you are 70 or older? Okay, now watch this. There you go. We have some. You'll understand this. 100 years is really not all that long. 100 years is really not all that long. I begin to think of what's happened in the last 100 years in the church. We're talking about the church. Do you know 107 or 108 years ago, there was a Pentecostal movement that started, and until just 100 years ago, there was not a baptism of the Holy Spirit in America. There was no speaking in tongues. There was no healings. There was no outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God. There was none of this stuff going on until just 100 years ago. And from then until now, we have changed. Yesterday, I was put away a dear old friend of mine, 94 years old, and talking with his family, and one of the pastors that was there helping. I thought, you know, it's amazing. And then the church we went to was kind of like a rural church, and they were still using the redback hymnals, and you know they were doing this kind of thing, and I'm thinking, and I said to one of the pastors, I said, you know, I remember this. I remember when this is all we had, and we didn't have the screens and the TVs and all of this stuff, and we sang out of the book, and I thought, you know, and experiencing that yesterday, I thought, you know, sometimes we miss a lot. I said, our services are so different. It's like being in another world, and I can just imagine my mind went to today, and I could just imagine what 100 years from now will be like. Someone would look at our antiquated services. Yes. They'd look at what we were doing and say, God, I can't believe those old people did that. And it's new to us. Are you with me? 100 years from now, and we begin to think about it. I thought to myself yesterday, you know, 100 years is just not really. Brother Richard was 94, and I got to thinking about my papa, my grandfather, dear old saint of God, preacher, planted churches in the Methodist Church, circuit rider. And he was born in 1884. My grandfather was born in 1884. And I got to thinking about it. So doing a family tree, his grandfather would be my great-great-great-great-grandfather, was born in 1749. Do you understand? In other words, I begin to see in the Bible, and you got to get with me on this because this is going to help you through the next few weeks of 100 years from now. 100 years is not that much. And when you begin to read the begats of the Bible, and starting with Adam, and Adam begat this, and Adam began to yada, yada, Abel, and all this stuff, you think that you go all the way through this, and there's just like, you go to figuring up in your head, and you're thinking, oh my God, there's millions of years. But really it wasn't, because they overlapped. And see, my great-grandfather overlapped my grandfather and my great-grandfather and my grandfather. And then my grandfather overlapped my father and me. Yes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? In other words, 100 years will pass, and 100 years from now, they'll still be talking about you. And even some of it might be good. That I don't know. But 100 years from now, my assignment this morning is to get in perspective of 100 years and how that you can make an influence. You can have an impact on 100 years from now. It's your choices today determines your future for tomorrow. And the choices you make tomorrow helps day after tomorrow, next week, next month, so on and so forth. In other words, the choices you and I are going to make today are going to begin to shape what the world and the church is going to be like 100 years from now. It's the decisions that you and I make. And when I begin to pray and think about what the church will be like 100 years from now, I had to stop and think, before we can wonder what it's going to be like, we got to determine how to keep it going 100 years. For let me assure you that if the world continues the way it is today, we will not know the church as we know it today in 100 years. I believe that there'll come a time, and in other countries they've seen it in years past, but there'll come a time when someone would delegate what you preach and on what Sunday you preach it and how you preach it. And if we're not extremely careful, it'll come right down to us. And this, so 100 years from now, what our intent and what our goal must be is to keep the freedom of the blood of Jesus Christ alive and well in the church today. How many of you ever stopped to think that in 100 years from now, we may not even be able to use the word blood in a sermon? You know, a lot of your versions, your newer versions, are eliminating the word blood because it's offensive. I don't know about you, but I'm covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not offensive to me. It's deliverance to me. It's power to me. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. And we just need to realize that we may not know what's going to happen, but I can assure you of this. I don't care where the world goes. I don't care what people do. I don't care what they say or what kind of powers and authority they try to put over us. I believe the church will outlast them all. Jesus said, when he was talking about the temple and about the buildings and how beautiful that they were, and they were asking him about it, he said, look at those buildings. Not one stone will be left unturned. And he went on to say, but my word. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The world may do a lot of stuff, and we may do a lot of changing, but I believe that the word of Jesus Christ is going to stand firm. It's going to be steadfast, and it's going to overcome every power of the enemy, and it's going to overcome every power of the world, because Jesus is still King of kings and Lord of lords. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's a faithful witness. He's a great I am. He is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Nazarene, and he's the power of God. He is the one that was, that is, and is to come. He is the sun, and he is the moon. He's the light thereof. He's the light of the world. He is God Almighty in the flesh, and he will always be who he is today. I believe he deserves a hand clap praise of offering, because he's God, and he's going to keep this church, his church, as long as he lives, and he's going to live forever. 100 years from now, and I hope that when you leave here this morning, you leave encouraged that 100 years from now, we're going to still be victorious. You know, I believe that. I've said this all of my ministry. I don't want to ever pastor a dead church filling up an acre of land. I mean, I want to make an impact. I want God to use me. And I've learned that if I do nothing, God can't use me. God can use me if I'm willing. He is not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. He doesn't care what kind. He will take you and make you whatever he wants you to be. Wow, this is so amazing. You remember when Peter and Andrew, when he called them to follow him as a disciples? You know what he said to them? He said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You fish for fish, now you're going to fish for men, so to speak. He says, come and follow me. And the most important thing was, he said, and I will make you fishers. I will make you. I'll make you whatever you want. I want you to be. Amen. I'll make you whatever I need for you to be. I will make you what I need for you to carry this church on. And the church was beginning, but it was just the very beginning. And that thing began to grow, and people began to grab hold of this thing. And I believe that in the last day, in the latter days, in this next 100 years, should Jesus tarry that long, which I'm kind of like Paul and Peter and those guys. I'm thinking he's coming tomorrow. I'm thinking he may come this afternoon. I mean, I got to believe that. If I don't believe that, I might as well quit preaching. I mean, this is the way it is. Paul, he said, and when the disciples asked him, said, when will this all happen? Is this going to be next week or next month? I mean, this has got to happen soon. It's going to be in my lifetime. And they begin to preach it with such zeal that they knew he was coming back at any time to deliver his church. And the church needs to get in the mindset that Jesus Christ is coming again, and we want him to come in our lifetime. You know what he said? We need to pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Paul said, pray it, believe it. Lord Jesus, come quickly, come quickly. We need for you to come now. We're looking for you. And I begin to think, how many people are really looking for the Lord to come? How many people that you know, how many of you could sit there in the chair this morning and say, you know what? It would just thrill me if Jesus Christ would come back today. Now remember, you don't have to say that, but I want you to think about that. Would it really thrill you? Would it really thrill you? Would it mess up some of the plans you got for the future? Come on. Would it really, really thrill you? You know, it's hard to cry out to God, Lord Jesus, come quickly, when you really don't mean it. I don't think you could be very convincing. But how many of us would really like for the Lord Jesus to come quickly? You know what? I believe that if we could ever, ever, ever get past us and lay it on him and realize, as we were saying about this morning, it's all about him. It's not about us. We're here for a purpose and for a reason. And God has a purpose for you. But it always has to be in his will. It's got to be about him. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about him. And so we begin to read scripture. And we begin to pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And do we really, really mean it? He went down to Capernaum, the Bible tells us, we read just a moment ago. And when he got to Capernaum, he was teaching, and they saw that his teaching was with authority. He had authority. And I honestly believe that that's the beginning of the church right there. when we understand that we're operating in the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, I remember one time one of my sons, Charlie, he got him a new truck. And it wasn't new, it was new to him. But he got him a new truck. And so I'm setting him down, kind of giving him some guidelines, you know. And I said, now remember this, son. You got a brand new truck, but I got a brand new key. And your truck is worthless without my key. It's kind of like the church today. We're praying for power. But without authority, power is useless. Everybody wants the power of God. I go all over the place and I'm teaching and preaching. And every church that I go to, they want to experience the power of God. But in order for you to have the power of God, you're going to have the authority to use it. And the authority to use it comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have all the power. I can go all the way back. We could start in the garden, and we can move forward, and we can go where Moses went before Pharaoh. And whatever Moses did, the soothsayers did it. That the miracles that he did, they did. I mean, you know, there's power. How many of you know that the enemy has power? He can duplicate a lot of things, but one thing you can't duplicate, you can't duplicate the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no way. It cannot be duplicated. And I just feel like that once we understand that we have to have the authority in order to use the power of God, then we'll be able to use the authority, the power that God has given to proclamate the gospel. And do what God's called us to do. You know, there's something about when we understand that Jesus began to teach and preach with authority. He knew who he was. You know, today, I got to ask you this. I want you to ask yourself, do I really know who I am? Do I know the authority that I'm under? Do I honestly understand when Jesus gave me his authority, what he really gave me? I have more to offer than I've given. And I know that there's more to it than what I've been able to offer. You know, the Bible tells us that when he got down and he started, they began to talk about the authority that he used. Now, people think authority is power with a lot of hype and emotion. Listen, that's not authority. Authority is having the power and the authority to speak and it be done. Watch this, church. God is a speaking God. And I believe that God wants to move us from doing to speaking. Listen, God can do anything he wants to do. He needs somebody to speak for him. It's the love of Jesus Christ. Are you there? Let me give you a real good example biblically. In the Bible, it tells a story about Moses. And he was leading this people of Israel out of Egypt. And he gets into the wilderness and they were thirsty. And he goes before God and God said, hit the rock and water will come out. He hit the rock and water came out. They got thirsty again. God said, hit the rock and water will come out. He hit the rock and water came out again. The third time, he said, speak to the rock. What did Moses do? He hit the rock. I mean, you know, but what he did was he moved him from doing to speaking. He moved him from doing to speaking. He said, you hit the rock, you hit the rock, now speak to it. Let me tell you, there's more power in speaking than there is in doing. Is God, as long as you're going to do it, God will let you do it. But when you begin to speak it, when you begin to speak it, remember the centurion when he came to Jesus. And he said, my daughter's sick. And I'm not worthy for you to even come under my roof. I wouldn't even ask you to do that because I know who you are. And I too am a man under authority. And when I say to my servant, do this, he does it. When I say to one of the soldiers, comes, he comes. When I say to another, go, he goes. I know what kind of authority that you're operating under. And I don't even, I'm not worthy for you. All I need for you to do is just speak it. Just speak it. I want you to begin to speak it. Listen, I believe that we're sitting back waiting for somebody else to do something, or we're trying to do it ourselves when we need to be in prayer speaking those things that are not, believing that they will come to pass, because God's word is steadfast and will never stop. 100 years from now, I've just got to say, when we begin to speak about God, what God is going to be doing in the church 100 years from now, you know, I thought, this is so wild. Can you imagine what people will be wearing 100 years from now? Can you just imagine? I'm just hoping they'll be wearing something. I mean, you know, I'm just hoping that they'll be wearing something. I'll probably still be wearing Miami Vice stuff, you know. But what I want you to see is 100 years from now, what's things? How we're going to minister to those people? And you say, well, you know, that's for somebody else. No, that's for you. You're going to begin to impact what people are doing. You know what? One of the greatest things in the world is that telephone. I'm amazed by it. I really am. You got to remember, I come up in a period when, in an era when they, you know, nobody, very few people even had phones at home. And the ones that had, I tell you, let me tell you this, you won't believe it. Say, yeah, I will. I'll believe it. My grandfather lived in Greenhead, Florida. And you know what his telephone number was? Greenhead 2. Greenhead 2. And you had to go through the operator to get him. I mean, we go through it. Now, listen, now on your phone, you have more data than we had when I was coming up in all the libraries of the world. We could not, I mean, you couldn't visit enough of libraries to get that kind of information. And then can you just imagine what's going to happen 100 years from now? I see that 100 years from now, we're going to have to be very creative. And we're going to have to start now, because we're going to have to be able to minister. I don't know about you, but I don't know that I won't even want to be living 100 years from now. I'd be almost 170. Yeah, I don't know, but I do know this. I know that as long as I'm pushing in and out air, I'm going to be preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and I'm going to be preaching the blood of Jesus Christ, and I don't care who does what or who says what. I don't care what kind of laws they make or they don't make. I believe that God's still God, and God's in control of the whole earth, and I believe that when we stand firm on His word, He's going to make His church victorious. Victorious. I believe we're in a victorious church. Sometimes we feel beat down. But when we feel beat down, we start comparing ourselves to others. When one church begins to feel beat down, they start comparing themselves to the other. I'll give you a real good example in the Bible. I love to do biblical examples. How many of you remember the 12 spies that went out when they were going into the promised land? They sent the 12 spies into, you remember that story? Shake your head this way for you. And so when they sent those 12 spies in, 10 of them come back. And what did they say? We're like grasshoppers. The place is full of giants, and the cities are walled, and we feel like grasshoppers in their sight. They were comparing themselves to others. Are you there? Then there was this guy. His name wasn't Joshua. I know everybody wants to give Joshua the credit, but his name was Caleb. And old Caleb says, we can do it. If God be for us, we can do it. I believe that we have the power, we have the authority, God is for us. Let's walk right in there and let's declare that's our land. You get off of it, God's given it to us. And Joshua said, I believe that too. And so the two joined together and they said, we're not going to compare ourselves to them, we're going to compare ourselves to God. We're going in the place of God, and so we're going to compare them to God, and they're little compared to our God. Are you with me, church? We just got to recognize the fact that no matter what happens, you and I are going to make a tremendous impact 100 years from now. Those of you in here, how many of you have children under 10 years of age? Okay, that's great. Those children, more than likely, great percentile, will live over 100 years. I mean, if they're 10 years old or under today, 100 years from now, they'll still be living. That's frightening, isn't it? And we think 100 years is a long time. Listen, you know, even in my lifetime, I can remember when the age expectancy, longevity was like about 62, 64. Then it went to 70. Then it went to 74. Then it went to 78. Then it went to just got to 84. In other words, it's growing because people are living longer. They have better care. And they can take care of people. And we're learning to be obedient. We're not? Somebody agree with me. Yes. We're learning to be. You know, they tell us we need to exercise. More we exercise, more we get to live longer. We see that it's 100 years is not all that far. And you're going to impact what's going to happen 100 years from now. Stand up with me. You're going to impact what's going to happen 100 years from now simply because you are who you are and you are in God. I believe this morning that as we wind this thing down, opening up, my assignment is just give you perspective of 100 years. What is 100 years? 100 years is nothing to God. God is not limited by time. Wow. God's not, and I've prayed that before. You know, how many of you ever wanted God to do something and you needed for him to do it, you thought real quickly? Amen. You know, God, you're going to have to act in a hurry. Yeah. And if you don't, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I always just be real honest with God. You know, I found that's the best way to deal with God is in complete honesty. Amen. And I just tell him, Lord, I know you're not limited by time, but I am. And time means nothing to you, but it does to me. And I need for you to move now. I don't care how you do it. I'd like for you to do it this way, but that's honesty. Yeah. You don't have to do it my way. I don't want to tell you what to do, but it sure would be nice if.
Amen.
So what I want you to see is 100 years is nothing to our God. 100 years is absolutely nothing, and God is looking for a church that can get his mind set. We need to take off our mind and put on the mind of Christ and realize that 100 years is nothing to our God. And if we would begin to prepare for that generation that's going to be ministering Jesus Christ... I'm telling you, Amy Semple McPherson and those people back in the early 1900s, they were not looking to minister to how many people they could get into their church or how many people would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or who would be doing this, how many people are speaking in tongues and how many people are laying hands. That was really not a concern for them. They were looking for 1950, 1960, 1970, the year 2000. They had gone past what they were doing right then. We can go all the way back, church, to biblical time. When we read the epistles and we read the gospel, they were not trying to create a history book. They were just trying to build a church for Jesus Christ. They were trying to get everything together and make sure everything was done right. You know, we got to get a different mindset. It's not about building a church. It's not about this, that. It is about Jesus Christ and him crucified and knowing that there's no time involved if we believe that Jesus Christ is truly the King of Kings. One of the things that has never, ever left the church is the sacrament, the holy sacrament of communion. Never, never left the church. From the time that it was instituted in the upper room on Mount Zion in the northern part of Jerusalem, From the time that it was instituted, it never left the church. Jesus took his disciples and went up into this upper room. And the Bible says that he wanted to offer them a new covenant. And I've often wondered, being the kind of person I am, I had to say to myself, self, there must have been something wrong with the first covenant if he offered a new covenant. And this new covenant was a covenant that would make you timeless, that would give you eternal life, that would create a place in history that one day you would be and the next day you would be not. It's kind of like Enoch. And the Bible says, and Enoch was no more. In other words, there come a time when you will pass from this life to the life hereafter. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So one breath you'll take on this earth, and the next breath will be in the presence of God. I'm telling you, that makes dying seem easy, doesn't it? And the reason it's easy is we come from the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch it. Death has no sting on us. Oh, death, where's thy sting? We're going to pass from this life to a life forevermore, a life in Jesus Christ. So he offered them this new covenant. The Bible said when they got up into the upper room that he took the bread and he broke it. He had taught them a few months earlier. He said, you're going to have to eat my body and drink my blood if you want to be a part of me. Now, you got to realize, who is Jesus talking to? He was talking to Jew boys. He was talking to Jews. He was talking to kosher Jews. He was not talking to cannibals. He was not talking to a cannibalistic people. And they said, oh no, there is no way that I will eat someone's flesh and drink their blood. I won't do it. I will not do it. There's so many scriptures back this up. When Peter was on Simon the Tanner's rooftop, and when he began to go into this vision, have a vision in his trance, he looked, and there was a sheet that was knitted, the four corners, the Bible says, and it was let down, and in that sheet was all the creepy, crawly things of the earth, and a voice out of the heavens says, Peter, rise up and eat. And he said, not I. Not me. I won't eat that stuff. Nothing common or unclean will pass my lips. But when Jesus stood up and he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Hamotzi Elohim, blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the bread. He said, this is my body. I told you you were going to eat my body. But if you want to be a part of me, you're going to have to eat my body. This is my body. And he gave it to them. And then the Bible says that he took the cup, usher, can I have a cup? Can I have an usher? Oh, there's one. Cup. Thank you. That's okay. And then he thank you, Martha. Thank you, sir. And then he took the cup and he blessed it, and the Bible says in the same manner, and which was a Hebraic manner, a Jewish manner. He was a Hebrew. He was a Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Bori Pri Hagafim. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. And then he said something powerful. He said, this is my blood that was given for you. This is the blood I was telling you about. You're going to have to partake in this. And then he said, as oft as you do this, do in remembrance of me. Do in remembrance of me. I'm going to say this before I invite you to come and partake of the Holy Sacrament of Communion. If there's one thing you and I need to protect and never give in to, is the Holy Sacrament of Communion. Because that separates us from the rest of the world. It is His precious body that took those stripes for our healing. And it was His poured out blood that was spilled for our salvation. This is 100 years from now. I pray that we're still celebrating this Holy Sacrament of Communion. Father, we give You honor. We give You glory. And we know that our brother Paul instructed us and said, prepare your hearts. So, Father, we want to prepare our heart. If there's anything in our lives that would hinder us from being partakers of this sacrament, forgive us, O Lord God. Forgive us, Father. O Lord, we remember You. We remember what You did for us. It's all about You, Lord. We remember exactly what You did for us. You gave Yourself. Without reservation, without hesitation, You came and You became the ultimate sacrifice for us. And now, Father, we ask You to bless us as we bless You.